Let me introduce this joint. All right, so this is Travis, but I'm the host of Redefine Print, the podcast. I'm an attorney by trade, doing something different. I got a very, very, very special guest here. We in this corona thing, so we couldn't do it in person. But I got Kwame Gilchrist, a.k.a. Napalm Kwan, a.k.a. what else?
Yes, sir. Napalm Kwan is good enough. Carpenter Kwan, they know what it is.
Yeah, give me your information of where they can find you at.
All right, well, Napalm Kwan, that's the handle. You can find me on Gmail at Napalm Kwan. See what it is, well.
Spell it for him, Napalm Kwan.
NAPALM_KWAM. That's on pretty much all platforms, all social media platforms. My government name is Kwame Gilchrist. You know, that's my birth-given name. Google me.
Google him. And the reason I have you on is because you have an amazing story. You reached out to me. We've known each other for over, I'm just cutting my phone off, so I'm not.
That'd be like 20-some years.
Yeah, I'm not distracted. So we met each other in, what, 96, 97, something like that.
Yeah,
96, 97. I was at the R Institute. The cousin of the R, one of my R Institute classmates, but you basically was a classmate to me because I saw you all the time.
I went to school for free. I went to school with y'all for free. Facts. I used to be there every day.
Dorms,
lived in the dorms. I was there. R Institute. Facts.
Yeah. So the reason I have you on, and we're gonna talk about like some current events and stuff like that. But what I really want you to get into is because you beat a murder case. You was on death row, right?
I was on death row. Correct. In Arizona, Maricopa County.
Yeah, death row, and I know you had the person that we know that I know you through. I don't know if you're saying names or nothing like that, but
Rich.
He had reached out to me. I think I was fresh out of law school, so this might have been like 10 years ago.
He reached out that
you had a case. At the time, I was doing prisoners' rights work, and he told me I guess he saw me on Facebook, whatever. I post up. And he had sent me information. I had passed you off to Kelly P. Yeah, KDP. My bad. She my
KDP. Okay.
Yeah, KDP. And she was in Arizona and she was working with the Innocence Project. And I was like, I can't help you from here, but this person might be able to help you. And obviously the ball is rolling. You're out now, free on you fought your own case. But we're gonna get into that. But what's been going on, brother? What's going on with you with the corona? How you holding up?
Oh, man, we're in quarantine, a lot of alcohol, rubber alcohols, keeping everything nice and clean, a lot of Lysol, Febreze is going down.
Yeah, you're in PA now, right? You live in the PA now, right?
I'm in Philly again, yes, sir. I'm back in Philly, back with some family and friends, just working on some things. I got this movie I'm working on. Man, we got some things to do. Like, I had this life experience.
We'll talk about that offline. You're supposed to be calling me about the documentary and all that.
Pete Gang, I got it here for you because I needed some notes.
Right? Gotcha.
These are letters from me and Rich. Like, these are actual letters. Like, Rich and Jewel saved them, son. And these are actual postcards, family. These are the actual ones. So each one of these is like a series in itself, family. Like, I went through them, like the one with DMX. Like, it's crazy what's in here, family. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to get to that. Go on. I know you... We got welcome to it. So tell me about your, how did you become Kwame? Like, tell me about your childhood. Where you from and all that good stuff.
All right. Well, I'm from Brooklyn, New York. Kwame's from Brooklyn, New York. Red Hook. My mother I got three brothers. It's the average Brooklyn, New York. I lived with my grandparents. We was a bunch of us in an apartment. Then we moved to Brownsville. But I was wild, man. It's regular city life, anything you could imagine. Same shit you see on TV, it is what it is. I live the stereotypical shit. And everybody sleeping in the same bed, and roaches and cereal boxes. That's how I grew up. I was born in 78, so I was raised in the crack era in the 80s. Lost some family to it, that was just a way of life coming up. But me being unruly and wild, my mother saw that I was pretty much reckless, so she took me to court, put me in a group home. So at 8, I was raised by...
Oh, your mom just took you to the court? She just took you there?
Yeah, well, she said we was going to Burger King, and then next thing you know, I was in court, son.
Like, how I was old at the, were you at this time?
Eight.
So at 8, she took you to, you said you was going to Burger King, and she dropped you off at the...
Yeah, McDonald's or some shit. I remember the festival was probably McDonald's.
Gotcha. Wow. I didn't know that. That's why we're doing this. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, so next thing you know, I was aware of the state. They had me driving around in fucking town cars and limos, taking me to different group homes and shit. Then I found they found a spot upstate for me, St. Agatha's in Rockland County, New York. It was like this old Catholic group home. It was like Professor Xavier type shit. Son. It was wild. They had this horseback riding, swimming. I became a certified lifeguard and like mad young. Ceramics, wood shop. It was like pretty much the complete polar opposite of what I just came from, you know? Gotcha. Mad opportunity, mad. Big brother, little sisters used to pick us up every weekend. We went on volunteer trips. I used to visit Philly museums back then. Every pretty much museum or state-owned property on the Eastern Seaboard, I got to visit. All the water parks, all the amusement parks. We did it all, man. The state took good care of it. We was fresh.
You don't got nothing bad to say about the state then, huh?
Nah, nothing at all, man. They did good by me. You know, they did good by me. I can't even complain, bro.
So this is Sam, so you was awarded the state at 8.
At 8, and then I stayed there for about a year, and then my mom put me back with my mother. I stayed with her for about 4 more years, and then she put me back to the state. And then I aged out at like 18. I got adopted by some friends so I could finish high school in Rockland.
Okay, and when your mom's, but she was on drugs or what? How?
No, she had a good job. She worked at East River Savings Bank. She actually in the 80s she had me her job. Had a psychiatrist, and they took me to a job psychiatrist. She worked at East River Savings Bank. We used to take summer trips. Her job was in the World Trade Center. We was kind of balling in Brooklyn. We wasn't like poor in Brooklyn. We was one of the balling families. Facts. Everybody knew my grandmother. She was a teacher across the street, the Gilchrist family. So we was good. My name was good. But I was wild out. I'm different. I was smart. It wasn't that smart. The psychiatrist told them I'm just intelligent. Like, I wanted to see things. They told her that shit. So that's why she put the group on.
It wasn't on no bad stuff.
She was about to lose her job because they kept calling her to school. Although I'm smart, and I still was acting out. It'd come out and me acting out, me not wanting to do what the teacher said because it made no goddamn sense to me. I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Okay, got you. So you was getting in trouble in school. And
super unruly. So I ain't have no dad. My mom used to always tell all my teachers, yeah, it's because you're a female. He don't got no males in his life. Da-da-da-da-da. She used to say that shit all the time.
Got you. All right, so it was because you was bad, but not your mother.
I was just smart. It's like, yo, this dude is just smart. He's adventurous. He's not trying to be bad. He's just trying to figure shit out.
Got you. All right. So go ahead. So you still in contact with your mom now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got a good relationship.
Yeah, we had our Tyler Perry moment though, family. We had to have that because, like I said, she put me back in the group home, and for like mad years, I didn't hear from her. Like, she just took off and like abandoned me. So, was dealing with abandonment issues. And but I had a family, a friend core that I created just for being a good person who held me down, and they family became my family. So I was good. I was networked. I was traveling a lot. So I had families in different states. People just took to my personality, and I took to them, you know. So I tried to do good by everybody because I know what it was like. And like, motherfuckers, and it used to throw me off because I was happy to leave the hood. And then I get into these places in these other wealthy neighborhoods around different cultures, and they trying to be hood. And I'm like, nah, and again, this is crazy.
It sounds like something similar to what I went through. But I mean, I didn't go become an afford the state, but I moved out the hood when I was 13. I be telling this story all the time on this podcast. But and you experience, like, when you come from, you really from the hood, because I really from the hood. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't wilding out.
In Time Magazine in the 80s, you know what I mean?
As Jay-Z said, not the rap hood, but the hood. And then you go to the suburbs, and you, these people that you come in contact want to be hood, you be like, yo, this is not.
Yeah, y'all don't get it.
I never got it. Ironically, that's actually like part of why I became a lawyer in joint. I mean, in hindsight, like when I look, like, just wondering, like, why people do certain things, like, you know what I'm saying? Because I my mother had me at 17, so I never knew my father, and he passed away when I was 8. But when I went to the suburbs, I'm like, yo, these dudes got. You got two parents home. You got a pool in your backyard, and you walking around angry with a chip on your shoulders. It's cornfields out here. Chip, relax. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all got raccoons in your front yard, dog. What y'all talking about?
You got rabbits running around. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all tripping.
So yeah, but regularly, so we share that in common. So when I went there, I was like, yo, y'all bugging out. You know what I'm saying? Like I never understood like the being from the sub. I understand it now. I know what it's about. I think it's rooted in this whole notion of like what we consider blackness. You know what I'm saying? Especially men, like the young men, like what is like considered black? Like so we identify down. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense.
Right.
Like with the lowest common denominator, you know what I'm saying? Like so,
right.
And thuggery, and then it's the 80s and all that too. So I think imagery played a part, like because that's when N.W.A. and them got hot.
Then, you right, know, right.
The early 90s rap was all hardcore. I mean, it started off with some positivity.
They have diversity. They snatched up the diversity. They saw that the black youth was paying attention, so they took away the diversity and just kept feeding us the bullshit. So now the kids don't know nothing. They don't have no
kids. That's my philosophy. I don't know if it's true or not. I ain't never tested.
Oh no, it's true. You can see it whether it was done intentionally or not. That is up for debate. It can be, but common sense to me, no. But the fact of the matter is, it happens. Yeah. We can't ignore that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't.
You know, that's my debate on why they identify with the hood like that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I understand.
It's the images that they were seeing on TV versus like.
I concur, of course. Like, yeah. If you cut the TV off, everything would be different.
Yeah. But go ahead, man. I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead.
No, we're not. We're building. But yeah, that's who I am. So, yeah, we get more of who I am. That's it.
Yeah, I met you at, 18 then. So you was 18, I think I was 19.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, how old are you now?
Man, we ain't going to talk about that.
That was a while ago.
I'm 43. I just turned 43.
I'm 32. I'm about to be 32 in April.
Yeah, I was just, my birthday just passed. So I was born in 77.
Yeah, 78, so yeah.
So you was like 18, I was like 19.
Yeah, man. And then, actually, I was wilding out, visiting my boys in college in Arizona. Left Philly, went to Arizona, came back, was hustling like crazy. Then went to a few different other states. I was wilding out. Then I went back to Arizona. Woo, had a kid. And then next thing you know, I got locked up for murder, son. I was like, damn.
So the case has just been dismissed and all that. You could talk about it or nah?
I mean, I represented myself, so I try to stay away from talk about it as much as possible, but it really happened and shit. Like, it got dismissed without prejudice. I really had to, like, it was crazy, family, how it went down. Like, the universe is for real. Like, so, believe in God.
Get like, the facts that are undisputed that we know, so we can have some background information. Like, the undisputed facts.
All right. In regards to what? Like,
the situation, like, what you got locked up for.
All right, so boom.
Like, just give me the facts that are not up for debate. Like, nobody's debating these facts.
All right, so if you can Google my name right now, and the paper says that my co-defendant, not even a co-defendant, because in court they called him a would-be co-defendant. That's when I knew shit was crazy. But it says that a gentleman by the name of Stoney Biddens gave the police a picture of me and identified me as a shooter in a homicide case, in his homicide case.
Okay.
Now, the individual they speak of was a good friend of mine. I was on my Christian walk being, like, living in a Christian household, helping people out. Like, I was a part of a church, and I lived with a church, rent-free, yada, yada, yada. I was blessed, family. So I was helping my fans out, know what I mean? Now, he called me to be a character witness for him, family. So I was like, yeah, I could do that. But then I got on the phone with one of his investigators or something, because he had a whole team, because he was on death row. Okay. And family, shit got crazy. Investigators started talking to me crazy, started accusing me of shit to the point where I'm cursing him out. I had to get thug with him. Like, yo, I'm trying to look out for my peoples, but I don't need this headache, son. You can go eat it. I mean, stop playing with me. He's like, yo, I use my powers to F you up. I was like, what? After that, I banged him. I went in, told him everything but his name, and then hung up on him. Next thing you know, like a year or two later, bro, bomb. I get bagged. They had a secret indictment. Talking about, I body somebody. Then I get in there, and I'm on the phone. It's my second day in there. I'm on the phone, still trying to reach out to people. And somebody called my government name from the top tier. And I look, they're like, yo, come here. You're on the front page of the papers. I look, bam. I'm in the papers, for sure. And it said that this nigga ratted on me. They wanted to kill this nigga. I was like, nah, don't kill him. He ain't say that shit. And for a fact, he said, because I wasn't there. And good period. Like, so something ain't right. So I mean, shit was crazy from the jump. Shit was crazy from the jump.
Okay.
Yeah, so but his lawyers and shit, like, like coerced him into doing it. Then he even told me that, like, I got him to sign an affidavit saying all that shit. Like, he wrote me, like, yeah, man, they told me all this shit to do all this shit. I'm like, yo, fam, that's how I'm free now. And I told him, all right, nigga, listen to me. Like, yeah, I got you. Like, I think he tried to sign a deal and, like, tried to get me to say some shit that didn't really happen because he came to my cell one time. It got deep, bro. It got deep.
He's still on death row?
Yeah, he signed. He caught the plea, bro. He signed. Oh. He said, yeah.
Okay, so he didn't get the death penalty. He was, like, got life or something?
No, he got 23 years. He signed for 23 years.
23 years. Okay. Yeah. And how long ago was that? What year was this?
08, son. November 08. I went in. He went in, like, 2 years before that, in 06.
Got you. Oh, so, all right. So he copped to the crime, and he signed an affidavit for you saying that, whatever, you didn't have nothing to do with it and all that?
Yes, son.
And then yourself. So take me through your legal trial. I ain't expect to get in that deep, but we can go in it right now. So you start off with a lawyer, right?
I had two, dog. I have two funky. So they give you when you're on death row, they give you a team. You get a lawyer, a lawyer's assistant, a mitigating specialist, and an investigator. Right? So now the investigator, I gave this, like, they supposed to, whatever you tell them, they supposed to go investigate. Like, if there's actual work to do about some evidence and shit, you go tell them. Like, know what I mean? Like, yo, I need you to go see this person, bada bada bada, alibis, all that. They investigate. But they get those orders from your lawyers and lawyer assistant. That's his done or whatever. And then you got your mitigating specialist. Now, the mitigating specialist is someone who looks into your life. They're like the social worker of the case. They try to pick
up. It's all pre-trial, right? All pre-trial.
Yeah. They try to figure out mitigating factors, things that might have led up to it in your life that we have to take into consideration. You know, like, maybe you're retarded, maybe fucking trauma, like, maybe it was like, they don't know, but it's mitigating factors, and they try to work that into the case. So that's an angle. So I had this team, family, but at the end of the day, I had my first lawyer, dog. He wasn't doing nothing. I'm like, yo, I ain't do this. Let me out. This nigga said he was going to fuck me off. I'm obviously here right now, nigga. This is some bullshit. That nigga know I ain't do this shit. Like, let me the fuck out. Not happening. This nigga was trying to get me to sign deals and cop police. I said, bro, I ain't do this shit. I'm not signing of it. You know what? I didn't have a lawyer. You work for them niggas. You work for the same people who are trying to lock me up. I can't do this. Don't you work for them? He said, no, it's not like that. I said, actually, it is. You're fired. So next time we went to court, I was like, look, I stood up. I said, Your Honor, I want to go pro bono, pro per. I don't know what it's called, but I want a different lawyer or something, man. I don't want this guy here. Could we get another lawyer? Could I get one that's pro bono or something? Like, I'm just spitting out shit that I'm hearing from jailhouse lawyers. I'm not knowing what's really going on.
So,
next thing you know, they like, all right, we'll appoint you another lawyer. So they put in a motion so I can get another lawyer. Now, the next chick, it was a chick, tall, German-looking chick. She was cool, but at the same time, she wasn't getting her done. I still felt like I was in there too long. I'm like, nah, yo, you talking to my people. She was talking to Rich and my people. I was like, yeah, you're getting the ball rolling. The investigators not coming back with the people that I need them to talk to. They talking about they can't reach these people. When I got out, come to find out, the people still live at the same places. I told them they just never went. Like, it was grimy. So, make a long story short, son, I fired her. I spoke to my aunt. She was like, you just better write. And I was like, you know what? I represent myself. I keep it funky with you, family. This was my mind state when it happened, God. My life is on. I'm facing finality, God. Everything I'm looking at is different. Everything I did in the past really didn't matter. Everybody I was mad at, anything. People that was mad at me, I was like, ah, that shit really don't matter to you. Like, you really could die right now. They could put a needle in your arm. And so, actually, you could die before you even get to court, nigga. You are in maximum security jail. Nigga, you see what's going on next door, nigga. You're not going to get into that. But it is what it is. This is the reality I'm in. So I'm like, all right. Yeah, I'm going to just represent myself. I literally, when they locked me up, I was going to college. I had just got done taking my midterm for music business. I just got a 96 on my midterms, right? For music business. So my mind state was already on some. I was on my big near grind. I was already focused. And my admissions, my English admissions, even to get to college when I had to get my financial aid and shit, I had to take an English admissions job, right? I was 2 points away from being exempt from all college English courses, dog. So I was like, okay. My mind was already there. I'm like, yo, I'm focused. I'm smart. I'm group home raised. The state raised me. I've been in more courtrooms than this. This shit ain't right. I already know what's going on. Literally, this is how I'm feeling. I was awarded the state all my life, so this was nothing. When I'm going to court, I'm like, nah, They're not even doing it right. They skipping my pre-trial. I got to talk to a computer and say yes or no. I'm like, nah, I can get out of here right now. Like, yeah, yeah, I ain't got no evidence. Like, where's my lawyer representing? Like, I want to argue. I can't even argue. I had to go. They put me in a hole one time for arguing when I was supposed to, but everybody around me, they just had us lined up like fucking cattle just running us past the computer saying innocent, not guilty, when it's, we can get out of here.
Yeah.
So, but to make a long story short, family, I'm sorry, I keep speaking. I'm not making a long story short.
We got the crowd, yeah.
It's mad different things I could go off and branch off into, family. It's just, it was crazy. But, so my lawyers wasn't doing shit. They wasn't doing shit at the end of the day. So I was like, fuck it. The way my mind state was, I was like, yeah, I'm about to die anyway, nigga. Might as well, I'd be mad as shit if I go to jail and let them put me in jail knowing I ain't do the shit. Fuck it. I'm going to do it myself. Nigga, I got no choice. So I represented myself. I was like, all right, buckle up. Boom. Now, we ain't have no law library and no nothing. But my faith is strong, family. My faith is strong in myself and the creator and human beings, pretty much. Like, I know what it is. So I'm like, all right, it is what it is. I start reading motions, just random motions. All my old paperwork I started getting access to. I got access to my papers from the group home, from my mitigating specialists and stuff. And I used to talk to psychologists. And the shit was just amping me up, nigga, making me sound like a superhero. Know what I mean? She was like, yo, this nigga's capable of doing anything he puts his mind to. Oh, he's in the top percentile of this, so nigga, I'm amped. I'm like, oh, fuck this, I got this, nigga. Yeah, I'm dead ass serious. Fuck this, niggas can't tell me shit, nigga. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Like, and I'm in my scriptures and everything. I'm writing scriptures on my folders. So now, we ain't have no law library, no nothing, man. And I put this on God, Allah, whoever you want to believe in, man. Universe, what you put out, what you get in. But this is what I know for a fact, bro. We ain't have no law library or nothing. And everything I needed somehow came to me. Cases, everything. It'd be a riot upstairs. And then somebody just shuffled around. They had to put people in my pod. And then somebody would have something I needed. I didn't even know I needed it, but it was the missing piece. Like, it was crazy. I was in a hole one time, family, with this crackhead dude from Utah or some shit. And he represented himself in his case. And he put me on the difference between federal law and state law, and how federal law supersedes state law. And how he represented his case, and now they use one of his cases as case law. Like, you could, as a statute, you know, talking about as a statute to the case, like, based on this, da, 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 he said his last name, the state versus.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm just learning this, though. He's educating me. I'm like, oh, word. I was like, yo, this is why I'm in here, bro. We in a hole, bro. I'm having a conversation with a crackhead, son. Yeah. And he pretty much gave me the info I needed to get out. He said, yeah, Arizona got its own constitution. I mean, they got state law. Damn, what kind of state is that? Pennsylvania is it too. What's it called?
Commonwealth
state, bro. Bam. So they're Commonwealth. They got their own constitution. He's like, but you can use federal law. He's like, what happened? I told him what happened. He said, it sounds like a violation of Code 242, Section 81 or some shit. Disregarding your rights under the color of law, some shit. He was spitting some smooth shit, but I came and looked it up, and I wrote and told these niggas I needed this information, and they sent it back to me to come and look it up, and I was like, yeah, I rock with this. This Fed law saying you niggas can't move like that. I was like, yo, next thing you know, something happened, they put me back in population, and I used to help people out with, like, they canteen forms. There's really motherfuckers who can't read, going as mad. I used to read them, they mail, like, all this for canteen, because I ain't have people holding me down, man. I got no commissary for real, though. Like,
yeah,
facts. Yeah. So, like, I can't, like, they, commissary, like, as far as commissary, like, I had to hustle and help people, like, with their shit just to survive, because wasn't nobody putting money on my books, bro. I ain't have it like that. I'm going to keep it 100. I did not have it like that. Oh, fuck that. I'm not one of them niggas who books was bought. No, nigga. I just sit in my cell, work on my shit. Niggas that paid me to help them read shit, nigga, or fill out their medical forms. Facts, my G. I was, like, the jailhouse lawyer.
Yeah.
Yo, New York, help me with this. Help me with this, son. I got you some honey buns. Facts, man. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, that's what it was like for me, man. That shit, it was kind of dope, though. So, but at the end of the day, I got a Black's Law Dictionary, bro, and I went at the state. I got a hold of the fucking the state statutes, the ASRs. I started at A and wrote down everyone my lawyers violated against me, both lawyers. I wrote the bar on their asses, nigga. I took A by the crowd, dog. Everybody, I said, listen, I'm gonna make so much fucking noise, you're just gonna have to let me alone, like, leave that nigga alone. And that's what happened. I wrote home, I had Rich writing you. I wrote shit, I was like, yo, get this shit to Obama, Michelle Obama, they secretary. What's the Obama secretary name, nigga? Yeah, I want everybody to see this shit, like, the governor, CLU, thanks to you, hit me up, like, your people's hit me up, got back with me. Like, yeah, man. Because I was up under there under Jarl Pyle. And Jarl Pyle was nothing nice, bro. That shit was inhumane. And it wasn't right what was going on in there, dog.
Yeah, you know, you said they had no law library?
That's not a
constitutional violation right there.
Yeah, we have the right to them, some like UCI, some, I forget the acronym or the letters it was, but we had the right downstairs, and they tell you if they got it or can give it to you or not. And I'm like, what the fuck? I was.
They probably had one on location. This wasn't in, because you was in max security.
But there wasn't no law library. That's what I'm telling you. There was no law library. You had to write these people, and they look up the information for you, and if they didn't want to give it to you, they said they couldn't find it and don't give it to you.
Got you. Yeah, that sounds like a problem.
It was a problem, fam. But I'm telling you how the universe worked. Like, the shit was just kept giving me things from other people who saw what I was doing. Like, son, I'm not Johnny Cochran, nigga. No snitching, no bitching. I'm here, family.
Yeah. So when you you went to trial though, right? Nah,
we didn't go to trial. 2 days before trial, we had that last conference. I had put in a motion for
dismissal. So you didn't go to trial. Rewind a little bit. So you was filing motions then. Right.
Yeah, I'm doing all motions, but like, I take like the end of this and put it on a blank piece of paper, family, and just write. I got them in here too. I think it might be some in here, son. Facts, and just write. Yeah, son. I just whatever I could find, align it. Boom, boom. I look at the actual motion that they had and start off with the same thing they were saying verbatim, and then when they cite their law that they was arguing, I put the law that I was arguing.
Got you.
Paint my numbers.
Yeah, so you basically taught yourself to be a lawyer then.
Facts, son. Facts.
Criminal lawyer. So you watching in the 50 Cent joint?
Nah, because that was my story, and I'm going to keep it 100. Had I been on the ball sooner, that would be me. So it kind of motivated me. And my people that I live with, they're like, see, Carl, that's supposed to be you. But I'm like, nah, my shit is different, but I get what they're saying. Like, yeah. I'll watch it, but I do use it as motivation because my story should be out there by now, too. Like, this is years ago.
Behind the scenes, because I've been trying to get you, you know what I'm saying? We talk behind the scenes, though. We going to get it right. Yeah. Oh, so you're not watching it, because I'm not watching it either, but it's not watching it. Yeah. I'm not watching it for no particular reason beyond just the fact that I don't watch TV like that. But I'm not avoiding it, not like that, but I'm definitely going to check it out. But his story is, obviously, he was on some drugs, and you had a murder, and you was on that row and beat that joint.
Yeah.
All right, so the 2 days, so, because I had interrupted you, so you
got to trial, boom. I had all my motions in. You can see the court doc, because it's public information. You can see all the motions I put in when I represented myself. I don't know how to read it properly, but I know. I'm like, yeah, man, I did all that. So, it's like, I'm sitting there shackled up, I got the stripes on, I'm there, I'm ready. I got my team now. I got my assistant, now they my team. And
You had a team now.
I was my lawyer now.
Yeah,
so I got my lawyer, the assistant, my mitigating specialist, my investigator now. But think about it, I just wrote all these cats up, family. I just wrote the bar, all of them. Yeah. Like, now, I mean, even the state lawyers. Now, when I come into court, now I get some respect, though. They shook. I could see it. Like, now, I mean, they calling me Mr. Gilchrist now. I mean, they looking at me, calling me Mr. Gilbert, like, and shit changed. So I knew it. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, boom. They're like, well, they talking their court shit, and they reading the docket. She's like, in the matter of the motion dismissal, we're not going to grant it. Bomb, bomb, bomb. Hits the gavel. Then we're about to leave. Boom. I'll see you guys in 2 days, I remember she's saying. Hits the gavel. Boom. The state stands up, says, Your Honor, well, if you don't grant his motion for dismissal, the state would like to put one in without prejudice. The judge got mad. I remember seeing it, son. The judge got mad. I said, why didn't you say it sooner? Then sat down and then let the state talk. And then I was like, look at God go, bro. I did anything I could do, son. Everything. I was ready to walk away. I'm ready for trial.
Yeah.
And the state tapped out at the last minute, son. It's the craziest shit ever. But before that even happened, when they first walked me in, my investigator asked to speak to me privately, so they walked me in the back, like this back hallway and shit. He said, yo, what did you do? I said, what do you mean? He said, she was trying to help you, your lawyer. She was trying to help you. I was like, nope. He said, you see this? I said, I'm still here. How is she trying to help me? I got to help myself. He's like, now she has to go to the bar. Like, he was scared. Like, he came to me, told me, he's like, now we all have to go and answer questions. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, bro. Like, you should have did your job. And then I just walked away. Finally, walked away and walked back to court. I was like, nigga, this ain't. Nah, I'm good. Like, It's too late for this. Yeah, that really happened, family.
Yeah. So all right. So take me through it. So from the time you got locked up to the day you released, how much time had passed?
Probably like a year. I can't tell you, but it was like a year and either a couple of weeks or a couple of months. It wasn't that long.
Okay. So it was a year and year, a couple of months. So you was fighting for your life. So what was going through your mind while you in there, but outside of fighting for your life, you was
nothing. That was it. That's what my mind was, family. Like, it got to the point where even, I told you, if I even thought about shit or anything other bad or anything, it was like, nah, nigga, fuck that. Nigga, you could die. That shit don't even matter. Nothing else matters. When you're facing finality, nothing else matters. Like, shit comes into perspective. This shit is all a game, son. All the pieces go back in the same box at the end of the game. That shit is real.
Got you.
Positive, too. I really didn't think nothing negative. I tell people this, and I put this on everything, for more than, like, 3 minutes, like, for more than, like, 120 seconds that I was in there, did I ever have a negative thought of me actually staying in there. I couldn't allow that shit to settle. That's how locked in I was, bro. I used to write on the walls, I'm out of here on Monday. I used to write that shit. Anytime I see something written, anything positive, any little bit of light, bro, I would hold on to. Any little message, if I overheard something, I was having a bad day, I couldn't talk to my daughter, if I overheard something, I just tapped into that like it was for me. Facts, man.
Got you. Are you familiar with this book called Thinking Fast and Slow? Thinking Fast, comma, Thinking Slow. By Daniel. No. It's basically, I'm going to send it to you when we get offline. Book. I was recommending this book a lot. This is my number one recommended book for like years, like at least 2 or 3 years. And it's basically talks about like your subconscious and your conscious mind and how everything that you input in your body affects you somehow, some way. So you just telling me like the whole positive joint? Like saying everything positive, you was writing scriptures. You thought I was paying attention. You were just writing scriptures on the joint. Like all that stuff influenced how you went through the world. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a good book you should read. I mean, it's heavily researched. It's but they got good stories though. It's heavily researched, but so it's not super duper academic where you'll get bored with it. You know what I'm saying? There's another book called Man Searching for Meaning. You familiar with that?
I've heard that.
Man Searching for Bob Frankel something. He was locked up in he was in the Holocaust. I forgot which prison he was in, but he basically talks about like how he was like, yo, I'm not becoming a prisoner of this. You know what I'm saying? And Man Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. I think that's what it is. And I used to read that book every now and then, like parts of it, like I haven't did it in a while. I think I gave it to somebody, actually. Matter of fact, I did give it to somebody in the barbershop. He was like, he was just talking. He was just too negative, you know what I'm saying, for me. Like, I'm not that negative type of dude. I think I was telling him about buying a skyscraper, right? And I was telling him, like, how limited my mind was thinking. And I was like, yo, like, I was in New York every day, and I'm looking at all these skyscrapers. And then it hit me one day, like, yo, I never even thought about even buying a skyscraper. You know what I'm saying? And then, like all these skyscrapers, either they owned by the government or they owned by a private organization. Like, everything is owned in New York City except for the park. You know what I'm saying? The park is, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yo, why didn't I even think about that? I was like, that's just how, like, I just wasn't exposed to that type of thinking. So we was talking in the barbershop, and he was just saying, like, I was like, yo, I never even thought about that. But he's like, nigga, they ain't going to let you get that. I'm like, yo, first of all, who is they? You know what I'm saying? But I was like, yo, even if they don't let me get it, I never even tried. You know what I'm saying? So I don't even know if I can get it back. You know what I'm saying? He's like, yo, but them crackers ain't going to let you get it. I'm like, yo, bro, I don't even think like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even care about who out there, like, because I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That shit could be real or imagined. But I'm going to
keep it 100. It is real. It's real to him. Like, They ain't letting him get it because that's his excuse. It's either it is or it isn't. And I know that, so I choose for it to be what I want it to be.
I had one in, like, it was so heavy on me, like, on my spirit. I don't believe in, like, no religion like that, but I'm real spiritual and energy. It was just so heavy on me. I'm like, yo, let me just go get this book. So I left the barber side because he ain't even cut my hair. He was the barber next to my barber. I went and got the book. I went in the crib, and I was just like, you know what? Like, my, you know, spirit was telling me, like, yo, just get this man that book. He might use it. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, got the highlights and notes on the side, but this is for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even give books away like that. Like, I mean, when I do let somebody borrow a book, I just let him have it. And he's like, yo, thanks. You know what I'm saying? And I saw him afterwards, and he's like, yo, I gave him that. And I think I gave him, like, the Miseducation of the Negro, I believe I gave him. I gave him two books, and I was like, yo, you could do whatever you want with it, but I did my part. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it was just like his whole, like, yo, they ain't going to let you get it. Like, yo, who's they? You know what I'm saying? But
unless you want to.
Exactly. So to make a long story short, the story you just said took me back to, like, those books. And I'm going to send it to you when we get off. And I think you
want to. I was reading a few books when I was in there that kept my mind focused on, like, the Celestine Property, Prophecy. What was the number? One called Blink. I'm not as well good as the Blake, author.
Malcolm Gladwell. That's my favorite author right now. Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah. Yeah, name fell right now. Might be him. Yeah, yeah. But I would read, like, I had a book, like, on my bunk, nigga, like 9-7 books, some shit about money magazines, some shit about Dungeons and Dragons, because I would just stay in my cell and take myself away. And whenever the paperwork would get too daunting or I get too frustrated, would I just go into one of these stories, nigga, and put myself really in there, or focus on one of these books and put myself really in. So I was reading, like, 9 books at a time. And then I'd just be doing my joint, blah, 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 writing, putting my motions together. Putting the lines together, like, I used to have to draw the lines, guys. This is crazy.
So what this is, like, you know, it's read the fine print. Like, what lessons, because we're gonna get deeper, but what lessons did would you get somebody, like, what important lessons that you got from that experience that you want to pass on to somebody else?
It's real simple, man. Deal with me, man. It's real simple. This is what I learned. Close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Open them. Everything you see was once a thought in someone's mind, family. If you think about it, all the scriptures say, as in heaven, so on earth, it's been said throughout think and become, think, grow, rich, all that stuff. Like, they've been saying it for years, but the reality is there's this voice inside your head. Everything starts within, and then it comes outward. Like, we're having an inner experience, and then we reflect it outward. We manifest all this shit.
As a man thinking. You familiar with that, right? As a man thinking.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. That's what I learned on death row, family, that we really do manifest all this shit. I had to start taking responsibility. I'm the reason I was on death row, my actions and my affiliations. Point blank period. I have to take responsibility for everything in my life, and that's what I started doing. I felt this power in it. Like, some people challenge God, and I see why they challenge God. But me, why can't I be God? Why can't I be created in the God's image? Like, I could bounce it and flip it and make anything positive, bro, and that's the shit that I'm on.
Gotcha. And how long you been out for now?
Oh, since only 09?
11.
No, like 11 10, 10, 10. So 2010, because I went in November 8. I did all of 09. I came out 2010.
Okay. When did you come back east?
Oh, man, I stayed out there in Arizona. I just came back east 4 years ago. So I stayed in Arizona for like another 6 years. I ain't do good, man. I probably been postpartum depression. I don't know what it was, but I ain't do good. Then I got right. I was too embarrassed to come home, so I got right so I could come home. And then just driving ever since. Yeah.
Got you. And you said you got what type of stuff you got? What you now that your little artifacts that you got for your struggle that you were saying you was you got your letters and all that. What you got to share with the people? Oh. I might share the video with this if you don't mind.
The video, but peep this. Like, this is, I wrote these letters to, like, Richard Jewel. These are, like, the letters I wrote to my people in the house. One of them, sure, some of them got Jew on it, all of them. Like, not all of them, but.
Yeah.
Jew, me talking about you, like, boom. So I'll pull this letter out.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a mailing list, like the ACLU. Remember I told you everybody I was trying to get?
Yeah.
This is actually the mailing list. It says, ACLU, NAACP, Bureau of Prisons Regional Office, U.S. Attorney's Office, Commissions of Civil Rights, you know what I mean? To whom it may concern, since my incarceration in Fourth Avenue Jail. This is actually all online right now, but I wrote this shit by hand.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, when we get together, I got to make copies of all that so I can have it for my files, too. What you doing now? So, like, what you doing now since you've been out?
All right, so When I first went to Arizona, I started an entertainment company. That's my goal. I went to artists, you know, it's like I'm artistic. So since I've been back, I've just been focusing on getting that running, like working with artists. I still work, like I got to have a regular job and shit, but my passion is really just this music and start putting out content about my story, because it seems my story and my struggle is real, and that's what I need to capitalize on at this time. It's far like I got to live my truth through this. And it's helping people. Like, I rock with people, and I see my positive attitude after what I've been through really affects them. Like, people, I haven't had gangsters go to school because of me. I mean, that shit feel good. I ain't gonna front. So it's like, all right, because they see me, they're like, damn, son, like, how do you do this? How do you do that? How do you always see shit this way? How do you do that? And I want to help, man. I want to contribute. So that's what I'm doing. Like I said, I still work. I do construction, bouncing shit. You know what I mean? But my entertainment company. Me wanting to put out positive vibes and just, that's what I'm really focused on, man. I'm on my billionaire grind on some moves. I want to own real estate. I want to own businesses. We're going to talk. But I got some people on my ear about real estate and all types of stuff right now. So, but I know this is going to bring some capital to get all that stuff going. So,
yeah, did you ever think about, or do you think about doing like motivational speaking, being on a speaking circuit?
Yeah, some people wanted me to talk to some Fortune 500 companies. One of my guys is a branch manager at a Chase, and he wants me to go talk to his team in Arizona. Like, I had a few schools, absolutely. But I got to start taking this shit serious. My personal life wasn't popping. I'm human. I got a lot of issues. That shit really did, like, affect me emotionally. I was already a little bit emotionally. I mean, I'm black in America, bro. I'm dealing with a lot. I feel Charlemagne. Black people need therapy. So my personal life was slipping. I substance abuse, all types of shit. Like, I was wild.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really take advantage of those opportunities. It wouldn't be right. So, but now I'm in position.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You brought up counseling. You went counseling.
I know how good therapy is. I know how relieving things is. Like, I understand it. Like, we need it, especially being black in America. Let me reiterate. I mean that. Like, it is hard just waking up being black in America. People need to address that. It's not, ain't nobody copping out. No, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to accept that. Know that you're a lot tougher than everybody around you just because you have to be. And we still getting it done. You know? But yeah, I'm not using that as an excuse, but it's what it is.
Yeah. So you know the importance of it. So why haven't you went? If you know the importance of it, you just ain't had the money, funds or whatever.
Oh, no. I do my own therapy. I was raised in group home states. I know how to meditate. I know how to...
I got you. Oh,
I'm writing this therapeutic, all this. Like, I go do my martial arts. Every morning, I'm up kicking trees, punching shit. I'm doing amazing things in my body, challenging myself. So, yes, and I get my therapy in.
So, you meditate?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
What have you been meditating for?
Since a child, actually, since a kid. Like, one of my brother's fathers was heavy into martial arts, and he used to teach us. And that was one of the things he instilled. So, yeah.
Wow. All right. So you've been meditating for a minute. That's interesting.
I visualize shit. I make shit happen. As in heaven, so on earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you martial arts. You still practice martial arts?
Yeah, yeah. Like, not no discipline, but I'm flexible. I'm nice. I kick a nigga in the face real quick.
What type of martial arts was you went to?
All right. So growing up, my brother's father, like I said, he said I got long legs. He said I'd put you on some kicking shit. So I just been nice with the kicking shit. Like, I'm nice. I've always been nice to hands. But I don't study no specific discipline. Nah, I just like martial arts and fighting. I'm not trying to beat nobody up. I'm no bully. I get my ass beat. But I promise you, nigga, we'll kick a nigga in the mouth real quick. I'm just going to keep it 100.
Yeah. So your plans is to have, well, you might not want to get too much of it. It's up to you. Like, what do you want to do with the story? I know you want to get it out there, but how do you want to get out there?
Oh, yeah, me and you going to build, because, like I said, each one of these is literally...
It's an episode. It's an episode. Yeah.
Facts, son. Facts. How I obtained it. Anything. We can put the twist on it. And then that's not even the postcard, God. These are the postcards. These are the postcards I was sending out. These are the indigent packets postcards, too. Like I said, I ain't had no bread. These are the free ones they give you with the little toothpaste. They got to give you every week, son. Facts, huh? What's good, fam? Look, I need some help. I need you to look on the internet for some info. Look for a list of common motions. I need a list of common motions filed in court cases, also searched for. Yeah, I was on. I was looking for help, bro.
This might be a difficult question, or I don't know if you want to go there. Like, how many people actually that you knew out in the world actually stood the by family. You and helped out when you was going through what you was going through?
Oh, man. All right, so boom. That number is low. I could count on less than his hand, all right?
Yeah.
I could count it on less than his hand. And that's the reality of it. Yeah. Now, it's not because these people don't care about me. That's just reality. I didn't take none of that shit personal. But, yeah I was on death row. I said, I lost some real friends for real, though. Like, for real. Like, some lost some homies. True Colors real show.
Yeah.
I was on death row for real, though. Commissary money coming real slow. Lost some homies. True Colors real show. Now, that wasn't everybody. Some people was trying to fucking feed off the fact that I was in there. Like, some rappers that I was fucking with. Like, some of my homegirls would try to put money on my books, and they'd hit them up. And these rappers, so-called friends, would be trying to holler at them. Like, nah, I don't know if he want you to talk to him. Come do this video with us type shit. Like, it was all types of crazy shit going. Niggas, wow. Human beings are strange, bro.
Yeah, he said human beings strange.
Human beings are strange creatures, bro. I done seen some shit. I seen some shit in there. Shit's crazy.
Yeah.
Human beings are strange.
A lot.
To answer your question, a lot. But I don't hold it personal. I don't write people when they go to jail. My right-hand man was in jail pretty much all our upbringing. I still love a nigga. Every time I wrote, it never made it. I wrote the nigga a lot to keep 100. It never made it.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Yeah, but I did have some people that helped me get down. Gotcha.
And when since you've been back, so you doing construction and all that, how you like that?
I love it. I get to work outside. I get to not be boxing. I'm a major boy, so I don't take that shit for granted. All right. I love it. Anything productive you can do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, and you zoom past it. We're going to go back. You zoom past the your adoptive family and all that. Speak more about them. How did you...
Well, I got adopted, like, a lot. I got a lot of family, but I got, like, legally adopted twice.
That's possible. I didn't even know that was possible.
Well, my mom signed over custody pretty much to these people because I was like, look, baby, I'm not staying here. I know you took me. She took me out of the life I built for myself. Like I said, she disappeared for a while when she left me in the group home. And I had established friendships, bonds, and families for myself. You know what I mean? Like, so I was like, she just came out of nowhere and then yanked me out like my 11th grade year and moved me to North Carolina. And I was like, look, lady. I'm shooting at her car and everything. Like, you got to send me home. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
She signed me over to like one of my boys' moms. And then I stayed with them for a year. Shit was kind of hectic. So then I moved with a white family. I was with a black family, my boy. And then I moved with a white family, my other boy. And I had to be a super senior. I almost went to the army. I think I failed the test on purpose. I was like, So I've seen a lot. I got a diverse background, man. But yeah, so that's why I show love. Like that, I had a lot of charity given to me, so that's why I still give a lot of charity to people. I still help people out regardless. Like,
yeah, I was living with a white family because I only saw that on TV. I know it happened.
Oh well, all right. So boom. It was amazing. It was amazing. I felt blessed.
How was the potato salad?
All right, so my mom, the family I was with, my mom, she talked like this because she's from England. She's from Europe, right? Her name is Lovey, right? Okay. We call her Lovey. Everyone calls her Lovey. Well, she can actually fucking cook, man. She can actually cook. They're like the fucking like pot roast and stuff like that. It's actually kind of good, man. It's actually kind of good.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I don't fucking sales at it regardless, period. period.
Oh, so they weren't white American then. They was
they were white American, but the mom was from there. Dad was fucking used to work at CBS. Gotcha. He used to like work television cameras back in the day. But he cool as shit. Shotgun like, all right, so you call a house and it was one of those old country motherfuckers on the answer machine. Hello? Yeah, I could shoot a fly wings over fly from 30 yards. They was white.
Gotcha. Yeah. This is upstate New York, right?
Upstate New York, Rockland County. How are you? But it was cool. I was a lot of white people's first experience with a black person. I used to be in high school walking with motherfuckers with KKKs up under the brim of their hat and shit. Nigga, I'm looking at them. We on the same team, chopping it up. I remember I was amazed the first time a white person told me they was talking about me at dinner. One of my fellow basketball players. It's like, yeah, Kwame, you talking about your dinner. Nigga, I stopped. It literally took me aback. Like the first time, I couldn't even fathom it, God. I'm going to keep 100. How you say you couldn't fathom owning a skyscraper? Yeah. I couldn't fathom white people talking about me. My guy, like, I'm dead ass serious. I was like, yeah, I was talking about him. He said, yeah, we talking about your damn dinner. Like, oh, he's like, you're a good guy, Kwame. I was like, okay, that's what it
is. Yeah, I saw your picture. You was the only black dude on your team, right?
Family, factory.
Y'all was trash, huh? Y'all that was super good.
Super duper trash. Super duper. And then the funny shit is, I wasn't even that good on the team. I wasn't even the best person on that team. I was the best player on the team, but I wasn't the best player on the team.
Yeah, when I seen that picture, I was like, yo, they either dumb nice. Wait, super trash.
So, and you know what my coach's favorite movie was, this nigga used to always reference?
What?
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers. I'm about to say that. Hoosiers, yeah. I'm about to say Hoosiers, yeah, yeah.
Hoosiers. I had the Hoosiers because it's the most whitest shit I ever got. I loved it.
Now, when I saw that picture online, sure, I guess they're going to see it on your IG. I think that's where I saw that on Facebook. Now, IG, it's on Facebook like that.
Look, this picture right here, look. I was nice, though, God. This is the paper. My dad saved this recently. This is the paper.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
They're looking at me like, yo, this nigga's really flying across the sky. They used to call me Mr. Ankle. I used to collect, like, tube socks back then. I was so nice in basketball. I used to break them, their ankles all the time, God. All the time. I used to have...
Yeah, when I saw that, John was like, yo, either they dumb nice, or they super duper trash. It was he's the only black one on it, and you ain't that tall. So I'm like, yo, they had to be dumb types. And that was like the 90s. So I'm like, that had the basketball and degraded and all that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
back
in 1945, y'all might have been dumb nights, but
I don't think we went nowhere in the sectionals. I think we might have lost first round. Yeah. I got to see Elton Brand play, though, but that's only because my bus drivers took me after we got eliminated the first round.
Okay. Well, where what school you went to?
Nanuet in Rockland County, Nanuet, New York.
From New York? I didn't know you're from New York.
Yeah, from Brooklyn.
Hey, from Brooklyn?
Yeah, son. Red Hook. Red Hook in Brownsville.
I didn't know that. Yeah, because I'm
from 135 Richard Street. I mean, Red Hook Projects and 187 Tabscott in Red Hook. Well, 135 Ralph Avenue. Yeah.
He was there. He was around that way. Kobe was him, Kobe. Around that mid-90s era. Steph was early 90s. Steph was like 94 right. Came out, right? Yeah, 94.
Yeah. Yeah, we had the best point guards on the planet. They get handles. Everybody in Brooklyn had handles back then.
Yeah. What's name was out? Sam got from Harlem, right?
Yeah. Still, New York. But Brooklyn, we different. I'm claiming Brooklyn to death. Fuck everybody. I mean, I love y'all. New York, we ain't building, but Brooklyn, you know what it is.
Yeah. everybody from Brooklyn. You don't even got to ask nobody from Brooklyn if they from Brooklyn, because they're going to tell you. They're going to find a way to bring out Brooklyn. This Corona riot is crazy. They'd be like, yo, son, like when I was growing up in Brooklyn, like that.
That's a factory right there. That's a factory.
We ain't even talk about that. I'm talking about this coronavirus. They're going to bring it back to Brooklyn somehow, some way. Like, yo, I remember in, like, 1996, there was this crazy flu in Brooklyn. Like, yo, I ain't.
Remember the blizzard in 96? We was in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn dudes always. Brooklyn, I don't know about the women like that, but the dudes definitely find a way to tell you they from Brooklyn.
Women's hard, son.
Yeah.
Brooklyn women hard.
Brooklyn is a place where, out of everybody that I've been in contact with, I'm going to say Brooklyn people are the proudest people that I know.
On some Spanish pride, too.
Yeah, like, they super-duper prideful, like, you know what I'm saying? And that joint is
a lot of Puerto Ricans from Brooklyn. We get it from the Puerto Ricans.
There's a lot of the Caribbean. I'm about to say a lot of Caribbeans. I don't know what they're doing now with gentrification.
Serious. I went back to Red Hook. I went back to my project. That shit is bananas. First off, when you get older, shit shrink. Like I remember that shit looking like the biggest shit on the planet. Like it was a whole world. I went back. I was like, what? I could throw a football this whole parking lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's super gentrified.
Yeah, so you was talking about music. So you still. Well, obviously, I know you still doing music. Where can they find your music at and all that?
All right, so I'm on SoundCloud, I'm on iTunes, all that. Just Google me, Napalm Kwan. I need to put more stuff out for more content. SoundCloud, stuff that I couldn't get like cleared, all my mixtape stuff. SoundCloud, you know. But everything else, just Google me. I mean, iTunes, whatever your favorite platform is, we streaming.
You on these platforms? You working with other artists, or not? You just by yourself?
Well, nobody that you guys would know, but I love working with people. I love working with people. Absolutely. When I was in Arizona, I worked with a few groups, started a few groups. It ain't always end well, but I got love for everybody, you know?
Yeah. Right. Y'all the Pond Gators in Philly, right?
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, y'all. Coronavirus, I gotta get my vitamin C in, son. I ain't even playing.
So with the Pond Gators, what's up with the Pond Gators? Y'all on hiatus? It's permanent hiatus. Well,
I'm still doing music. We lost one of our soldiers. Ron passed away. God bless.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as a group, nah, ain't nothing in the works. I'm still carrying the torch, though. You see, in our genre of music, people tell me, oh, you can't do it. That's just crazy to me. I'm with Norby right now. I'm trying to be 108. Doing music is music. You can't tell me when I can stop doing it.
Yeah.
But a lot of life is caught up to a lot of people, so they ain't in. I get it. People get kids. They ain't got the time to be running around. To them, it's just a dream. To me, it's just something I do. It's my stress relief. I got a lot of stress.
Yeah. All it is music. Music is your therapy.
Right.
You still writing crazy or nah?
Absolutely. I just uploaded some shit today. I'm bananas, God. I really think I'm the greatest writer ever, but only time will tell.
Yeah. So what you writing now? What you working on?
Working on a mixtape called the Homage Series. Where I'm taking just a bunch of old beats from hip-hop, paying tribute to hip-hop, and just slaughtering them. Just slaughtering them. Also, I'm working on the soundtrack to this movie. And an album called The Great Work, which will be my debut album to the world. Not all this mixtape shit, but actual album. Yeah, my first album.
What's the script called? Don't tell me that. How many pages you got on the script? It's a working title.
And it's called Kwame.
Yeah, great answer. In fact, real. So how many pages you in with the script so far?
I didn't do the script, and I'm not working on the script. I did the, it's right here in my hand, too. Then I just took a brain fart. I did the, what is this called? Before the script.
The screenplay? Well, that same thing as the script.
No. Yeah, I just took a brain fart. That's crazy.
The outline, you doing the outline and everything?
I got the outline, yeah. But the outline is a part of what this shit is actually really called. But yes, pretty much, that's the equivalent. I got the outline.
Got it. Do you ever think about writing it as a book first, or no?
Well, I have an idea for a book. Like I got the notes for the book, like some of those major lessons that I learned, like, and going through death row as well as life when I got out, like that, like I actually stopped, like I was going through something in life, like the scars. I'm working on a book too. I definitely want to work on a book as well.
Well, all right, so like.
But I already got that. I got the outline for the book too. I get the idea and I write it down and put the spine of it down so I don't forget, and then I come back to them. So I shelve them so I don't forget them though. But I make sure I get the thought out. And then if I have a thought, I go back to it, but I might add on to it. No, I don't rush it. I don't force it.
Yeah. So give me like, cause you went into detail about the about your experience. Give me like, right. if you was talking to some a young Kwame, give me like the 18-year-old Kwame. Give me like three lessons that you would want him to at least hear. Not saying that he was gonna take heed to it, but at least hear that the seed that you would have planted to him.
Slow down. I missed out on a lot, bro. Like, I missed out on a lot. Slow down. Because I was, like, I was so used to bouncing around that I never slowed down. Like, I was in good situations. Like, I know I let a lot of good women go. Slow down. So I tell myself, slow down. I, I don't have the relationships with my children I wish I had.
How many kids do you have?
Two that I'm aware of, but I'm sure I got more. That's why I need to slow down. I just got to keep it a beam with myself, bro.
Yeah.
Slow down.
That'd be number two.
Man, I wish I knew then to just do it. Like, I could do anything. Like, all things. Like, I literally can do anything I put my mind to. I wish I had brought on to that sooner. So, trust myself. I tell myself, trust myself. Because I know I could be doing shit, but I talk myself out a lot of shit.
Yeah, let me write this down so I can slow down. We number one.
Yeah. Slow down and trust yourself.
We number two. Trust yourself. What would be number three?
I think that would pretty much encompass it all. You know, like there's 10 commandments, but all could be combined to one. Just love that. Love is the greatest comment. Like, I mean, commandment, that's pretty much it. That's it. Love myself, nigga. Love myself more. I think I would, trust yourself, slow down. But all that is me loving myself more. So that's pretty much it, yeah. I'd show myself a lot more love. Like, I wouldn't bug the fuck out. I see a lot of things I did because I really didn't love myself.
Gotcha. How did you get into religion? Because you spoke about it a couple times.
Born in the church, pretty much. Everybody in my family, like, my last name is Gilchrist, and I did the science to it, nigga. That's Gilly Christ. It means the servant of the Christ, protector of the Christ. Like, my family, my Scottish heritage, Gilchrist last name, like, our family model Scottish shit is Fortis and Fetus. And that shit means strong and faithful, brave and trustworthy. Like, so my lineage, my name is fucking... is associated with Christ and God. So I was always into that shit, as it turned out.
Gotcha.
But that's my European side. Facts. But, you know, they say the black man is God, so I guess I've been to him. I don't know.
Yeah. That's funny.
You see what I did there?
Yeah, I definitely saw what you did there, what you want to hit on that I might have missed that we ain't get to?
Oh no! I think we get this. If there's anything, we can always come back. I don't know.
I just want to make sure. I know. I let you. You went immediately to the prison joint. I was gonna walk you to, but I let you go. And I'm saying,
because I didn't know what we were doing. I just had. That's what it is. That's what I went through. I'm shocked and amazed I'm here too. But I promise you, family, I know. It's something great out here. You literally can do whatever you put your mind to. Like, you literally can make your reality. We do it every day. We just accept the one that's been given to us, and we comfortable accepting it. But as soon as you don't accept that shit, you can change it, and that's the reality of it. I know that to be the truth. That's my truth.
Yeah, so have you kept that same focus and passion out?
No, I'm human, and I'm flawed, and I'm getting better, but no, I have not. I'm talking that shit, but I'm very much a human hypocrite. Absolutely. I'm still growing. I'm still being worked on. Absolutely. This shit sounds fly. I want to get it out because the more I write it, the more I do it, the more it becomes like easier to do, but I'm still growing, bro.
Yeah. And I'm glad you kept it quote unquote real. They don't say keep it real no more, huh? They keep it 100, keep 100 QB and be authentic and what's the word I'm looking for? Vulnerable.
Yeah.
With staying that, because a lot of people might front and be like, I kept it up. You know what I'm saying?
No, bro, no. I'm fighting taking a weed hit right now.
Yeah. I tell people every day, I'm like, yo, because they be asking me, like, yo, how I be staying so positive. I'm like, yo, it's really it's really multiple times a day. Like, when you see yourself getting distracted, like, yo, try to get focused. And I ain't successful probably most times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're trying to get better every day because I ain't going to never tell somebody I'm perfect, yo, and I got it, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm still learning and trying to work on my discipline just like everybody else did, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And that is, man, thanks again, man. I love you, man, for taking the time out.
I love you too, man. You held me down, facts, but people need to know. When I was on death row, I reached out to this man personally. My people reached out to him. I knew him before that. He came through, like, he helped me. He did exactly what he said he's going to do. It wasn't much. It was a lot to me. He didn't think it was much, but it was a lot to me. And I'm confident that that had a lot to do with my freedom as well. Like, I see how the contribution, like, I see how it played a part. Like, it was a major vital part of my fucking psyche and my, just the fact that you wanted to help me. Now I got a lawyer, a real lawyer on my team. Like, this shit added. It was another battery in my back, family. I really appreciate it. Word.
Oh, nah, no problem. I say, I don't even, like, when I just do something, I just do it, man. I don't even think, like, if I can help somebody, like, and if I can't help nobody and they reach out to me, I'll try to point them in the right direction, even if I can't help them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, obviously, it's only, I'm being a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm being a little bit more, because I realize it's only 24 hours in a day, right? You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, you can't help everybody. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm being selective, something like that. We're going to just say selective for now, because I can't think. I be having brain farts too with my vocabulary, like the words I'm trying to use it, because I be trying to get the vocabulary words right. But I guess because that's me being a lawyer, like, I want to say the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
But you can say it, but you want to say it a certain way.
Yeah. So it's not. I mean, people gonna take it how they want to take it anyway, and flip it and bounce it however they want. But I try to be concise and precise with the words that I be using. But they just say selective right now. But, like, yeah, when he reached out to me, I was like, yo, no problem. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, yo, let me know what he could do, what I could do. But I was like, this person might be able to help you, you know what I'm saying, more than I can, because it was there. You know what I'm saying? And that's good. That's good. Because I was in D.C. at the time. They was actually in Arizona. So I was like, and they was doing that type of work. You know what I'm saying?
That's how it got back to me. They reached out to me.
Yeah. So I'm glad she even reached out to you, Katie.
I reached out to them, and they reached out to the ACLU on my behalf, and the ACLU reached back out to me and told me they was going to take my shit and add it to what they was already doing, and I felt accomplished.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm glad I played a little part, you know what I'm saying? But you played both parts, though, you know what I'm saying? You decided not to give up and take your destiny in your own hands, you know what I'm saying?
I told my guy, so I got a guy, like, because you're not religious, and neither is one of my right hand mans, and he used me. He asked me, had me check me. He checked me, son, and I got to keep it thorough because it resonated with me. I was like, yeah, God got me out of this, son. I had my faith. That's one of the broken ties too, faith walker. I was like, I had my faith, son. I was going in. Did it. He said, yo, cry. He said, who wrote the motions? I said, me, nigga, by hand. Did it. He said, yeah, you did that shit. Who researched that shit? He said, you did that shit. You had to stand in front of the judge. You keep talking about this God, nigga. Nigga, you looking like God right now. You did that shit. But he don't believe in God, so he was lightweight clowning me.
Nah. Oh, he was clowning. Nah, I believe in the higher power. I just don't want to say.
No, he don't believe in God. He don't believe in God. He don't believe in God at all.
Yeah, I believe in God. I ain't going to say, you call it whatever you want to call it. Gods, plural, whatever. I just don't believe in the structure. Because all the stuff is man-made. Like you said, everything starts in your head, and then it comes out. You know what I'm saying? So I believe, like, whatever higher power's in you, like, you are God. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't no God body or nothing like that. I'm familiar with the teachings and the lessons, but, you know what I'm saying? But in the day, like, you are, like you said, everything starts here. You visualize it first before it's even existing. Like, all this table, the things we own, technology, somebody thought of this first. You know what I'm saying? And, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, they built on knowledge and wisdom that was preceded them, but, you know what I'm saying? Like,
like you said, energy. It's that energy. The more energy you give something, the more it comes to fruition, the more it grow. For instance, like, it starts as that thought. It's like a seed. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that's all you need, the seed. It don't matter, you got that thought. Now, the more energy you get a thought, now you thought about it for a minute, now you thought about it for an hour, now you done thought about it for an hour and a half, you started writing it. Now it took yourself from this hour and a half thought, now the energy is getting, building momentum. Now you're writing it out. Now you got a whole blueprint of this building you just thought of, but it was just a thought. It was just, you wanted to start a business. Now you got a building. Then you fucking fuck around and find a loan. Now it becomes actually brick and mortar building. So now it jumped off your brain to the paper to actually in front of you. Like, this shit is really all energy, and that's all life is. It's a bunch of people's thoughts, but they put energy into it and actually made this shit tangible. Like, it's actually real.
Yeah, but we can go all day on this, man. But we got an hour in, and we can do it again too. If you want to do it again, if you up to it,
I'll be like, oh yeah. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. Anything you need from me, I got you, family.
Thanks for taking the time again. I love you, brother. Thanks for taking time to do this. Thanks, man. I know you don't have to do this. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always appreciative to everybody that even takes
time. I wanted to. I'm more than grateful, fam. I'm more than grateful.
But hey, give everybody your stuff again so they
Napalm Calm, NAPALM_KWAM. It's at Napalm Calm for Instagram, Facebook. It's Kwame Gilchrist or Napalm Calm. Yeah, Google me. Google one or two. You can find out about my case on there. You can read shit. It's crazy. But we got more for you. Me and D gonna get to work.
We definitely got more for you. And I'll put all this stuff in the show notes, all your information, so everybody got it.
I'll be there. Yeah, like I'm on your favorite music platforms. Support me. You want to support? You want to help me out with the bag? Like I said, I'm human. I still got bills too. You want some good music? I'll send you some music. I got you.
Got you.
I'm on Apple. I'm on all that.
Got you. I'm thinking this might be the first visual joint I might release, yo.
Okay, I'm with it.
I already told you you got the energy, you got the character to do. We'll talk offline though, man.
Yeah, we're doing this. It's done.
So, yeah, but this might be the actual first visual joint I might put out. But we'll see. Thanks everybody for tuning in. If you got to the point, I hope you got something from this conversation. And you can find me at Detravius Bavia, DETRAVIUS. It's going to be in the show notes because my name is crazy, spelled crazy. and technically, my audience is so small that if you're already following me on social media. But until the next time, thanks for tuning in to Read, Define, Print, the podcast. I'm your host, Detravius Bavia. I had the illustrious guest, Kwame Gilchrist, a.k.a. Napalm Calm. And until next time, peace. All right. I'm about to stop recording. I'm going to call you right back.
Copy that.
All right. Let me see how you stop.